This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But right now, we're pleased to welcome Mike Ferrari, who is the sports director for KOMO Channel 4 in Seattle. And Mike, this is obviously a bright way to start the season for the Seahawks offense, especially. You're seeing them operate for the first time, really, against a team in a different uniform at real speed. What is your takeaway from this 38-point display?
You know, it was fun to watch, right? Just getting NFL back and having the teams that we like to follow. And see what they had. It was really like opening that present on Christmas morning, because you don't have any preseason games. So we had nothing to go on. So what you see, it's like watching college football. First one out of the gate, what are they going to do? And that was how Pete Carroll approached it back to his days at USC, kind of put that mindset on things. I think what impressed me the most was just Russell Wilson's command of the offense. And Pete Carroll said that he really just own the offseason, the Zoom calls and everything else. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how exactly are they executing offensive plays and drills? And, you know, and they're just committed to doing things the right way. And Pete Carroll said, well, it's a pandemic. We have all this stuff going on. We're going to win this. We're going to do everything we can to win this the right way. And he wasn't kidding. They look great. I thought it was good to see an offensive line that, you know, showed that they have a long way to go, especially on the right side. With Brandon Schell and Damian Lewis, the new rookie out of LSU. But there was one thing I really liked: Chris Carson's second TD. Damian Lewis was downfield blocking, and he likes to get after it, kind of like DJ Fluker did at the right guard spot. And so that was encouraging. And then, of course, Jamal Adams. Man, he gave up 2 number ones. That guy better be good. And he showed everybody today that he's pretty good. So, I mean, I could talk for hours on what I saw in the positives. And they still, I don't think they felt really, like, awesome about the game. I think there's a lot of things they want to improve on, especially defensively. Because there were, you know, a couple of Falcon scores that shouldn't have happened, especially one when Jamal Adams collided with Shaquille Griffin. And that's just guys knowing each other and knowing where they're going to be. Right. But overall, it was a good start on the road for a team that, you know, does have a lot of veterans and a lot of guys that know what they're doing.
How did you like the 4th and 5 call and the touchdown pass to DK Metcalf? And that was at the Atlanta 38.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Russell said after the game that he saw them celebrating. And I think that kind of had a little bit of motivation there. And, you know, if you're going to win in this league, if you're going to be a good football team, you have to have that confidence to go for it and just do things because you can. And that's exactly what they did. DK Metcalf is a terrific receiver. And, you know, they've done balls like that, those throws like that, situations like that over and over and over again, not just in the month of training camp, but they actually were training during the pandemic down in California at Russell's little ranch. Doing all the things they need to do to be comfortable. And it's just a matter of like, hey, let's just go play catch. Boom. There you go. You got a score. So that was really cool. And that had to leave the Falcons thinking like, what just happened? We just were, you know, feeling great about a third down stop. And then they just stuck it to us.
Russell Wilson had as many touchdown passes as he had missed throws. And here he is closing in on a decade in the NFL. And he hasn't won an MVP, though, of course, he's got a Super Bowl ring and some other really incredible moments. How would you look at his season coming off of last year? What is it that he can possibly do to get better?
Well, he said that his commitment was to learning, to being smarter. He has all the athletic tools. I think we've all seen that. And he brought up Peyton Manning. And this is a guy that he beat in the Super Bowl. And, of course, we know Peyton's history and what he was able to accomplish and then go on and win one in Denver. But I think he just committed himself to a different level of not just understanding how to do things, but of leadership and then feeling comfortable. And, you know, there were certain guys as he went, whether it be Richard Sherman or Cam Chancellor. And, you know, it was those guys. It was their team. It was the veterans. But now this is his team, and he's comfortable with it. And when he's comfortable, he can flourish. And he's been showing that year after year as that has become more and more his team. And when he has those relationships with a DK Metcalf, when he can extend beyond the normal practice or whatever were the Zoom sessions in the spring and connect with guys. I mean, that's something Pete Carroll preaches. It goes back to the coach, right? It's all about connecting and having those connections with players that, you know what each other is going to do. And I think that was pretty well illustrated in that fourth and five call with DK.
Mm. Mike Ferrari is with us from Seattle, sports director at KOMO-TV, which is an ABC affiliate. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What does Greg Olsen add to the mix?
He is just a neat guy. You know, I think you look at a guy that could have gone on and had a wonderful career as a broadcaster and just hung it up. But he saw an opportunity to win and play with Russell Wilson. And, you know, when he comes into the interview room today, and you know, we're like everybody, I was not there watching remotely, and he just seemed to kind of have a feeling of satisfaction, and also was just really glad to get the one out of the way. That everybody got kind of moving around. There's, you know, like we said, no preseason games. Everybody has a better feel for one another going against, you know, another live team, so to speak. And so he is that veteran leader. And he's going to teach a guy like a Will Dissly how to do all the little things. The conversations, again, that those guys are going to have in meetings and on road trips and in practice. But it was 14 years. I mean, he's incredible. And he's caught a lot of touchdowns, a lot of big passes. And he makes it look easy. And there's an ease to him that he brings when you speak with him. Whether he's around the team or at practice or whatever, that just, you know, is a veteran, the guy you look at, be like, I want to be like him, you know, if you play the position.
Does Pete Carroll want Russell Wilson to be the leading rusher on the team?
No. I always go back to a couple years back against the Dolphins, a home game. Russell was running. He messed up his knee, and that messed up the season. I don't think so. I think you have Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson to do that. But they will do that when he has the opportunity, because you got to keep a defense off balance. That's always a threat. You don't want it to be a Phillip Rivers type thing, right, where he's not going to go anywhere. It's basically you have got to keep that one guy assigned, and that's going to open up some other things, I would think. But I think as he goes on, he's the general out there on the field. He cannot miss anything, and they don't want some silly play and have him get hurt and be knocked out. His durability has been phenomenal. I mean, his workout regimen is something else. But one good knock could knock him out, you know? And so I don't think they want that at all.
Mike Ferrari with us from Seattle. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about the other side of the ball. And I know you mentioned communication and getting together and being on the same page. And this was their first opportunity against guys in different uniforms. But they gave up 500 yards. And both Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley had really strong performances, a lot of catches, a lot of yards. So then how would you evaluate the defense?
As needing a lot of room for improvement, I think, especially in the passing game. But running wise, I mean, they kind of held him in check, which if you look at the Seahawks of past, teams would probably run more on them than they would throw on them. And it is Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So you got to chalk up a lot of yards to that.
Yes.
And the first game. But there was one touchdown to Ridley where Jamal Adams was, I think, being aggressive. Shaquille Griffin went to go follow Ridley in coverage, and those two collided. I mean, they're in the field. Ridley was wide open in the end zone, and that's a communication thing. That's just knowing what's going on. And if you're going to have a guy that, I won't say freelance exactly, but it's kind of what he does, a Swiss Army knife type player like Jamal Adams, that's going to be all over. You're going to need to be ultra communicative, if that's a word.
It is.
They need to communicate a lot, I mean, to really know where he's going to be in that situation, because he can make plays all over, but you also don't want that to be a situation, especially if it's like a closer game. So some room to improve in the secondary for sure.
So moving forward, there are two pretty high-profile games coming up at home in Seattle, CenturyLink Field, which normally has the 12th man and is known for its raucous atmosphere. So Patriots in week two, Dallas Cowboys in week three. What's it like when it's empty?
It's bizarre, you know. And I did not go, to be clear, I did not go to the mock scrimmages. I have been there for Sounders stuff, believe it or not, when it's empty. You know, I try to avoid as many of the situations. We did have a photographer there, but I like it is, and as you know, they want to decrease numbers. If I don't need to be someplace, I'm not going to go. From a safety standpoint and numbers thing, these teams are dealing with enough. But I know I've been there a lot for Sounders practices. It's very cavernous and very quiet.
Wow.
That's for sure. But they're going to pump in the crowd noise. I think they're trying to get dialed in what level they're going to want, because I'm sure you've heard they once you decide on a level, it's got to stay that way for the whole game.
Right.
And it's a matter. I think they maybe learned a lot in Atlanta this week. Like, how do they want it to be? Like, if it was the first time out, they'd probably be like, well, God, we can't hear anything. But maybe it was at such a level in Atlanta that it was good for everybody. And not horribly bad and annoying, because there was one game I was watching so many today that it was really bad, you know, and it
as
just
in
did
too
not
loud
sound,
you mean
good.
Like too loud,
yeah,
too, yeah,
in my opinion it was just annoying, and I that was just through a TV. I couldn't imagine being there in person. So I think they're going to get that dialed in this week. They did have three scrimmages at CenturyLink, and they did play with the noise, and Pete Carroll tried to recreate the environment and also know that let his players know they ran out, they did the national, they did everything that they would get on a game day. And he felt real confident about that, not only from like taking a preseason game standpoint and like kind of getting some of those jitters out, but also letting his guys know that when you come out of the tunnel, those people that you see and have seen year after year are not going to be here. And so I think Carroll thinks his team is ready for that. And after this week, I think they learned a lot that about playing with no fans in the stands.
Before I let you go, Mike, it's obviously a touch-and-go situation because everybody has to not only follow protocols but stay clean and make sure that they are, well, wherever the line is drawn, they're back from the line so that they're not taking any risks and chances. From what you know of this team, from your years covering them, how confident are you that they can abide by all the protocols and the rules?
Well, they have a nice mix of veterans. It's first time. And I think the Pete Carroll era, an undrafted free agent rookie did not make the team. They made this roster, made it a priority with this roster to have veteran guys when all this started. I think John Schneider had a pretty clear picture as to what this was going to look like, the amount of time they get with players, how to go about things. And Pete has said, we're not in a bubble officially, but we're acting like we're in a bubble. And there's that accountability piece. If you have a bunch of veterans holding younger guys accountable and people buy in, and he keeps them occupied, Pete Carroll, the way the week is set. I mean, there's so much structure around being an NFL player and so much that goes on at the facility. And, you know, they go through a pretty rigorous process just to get through and into the building each day. There was a great thing on Seahawks.com. They did a thing, a day in the life of Pete Carroll, and it was fascinating just what they have to go through. This is the head coach, just to get into work. And so no one wants to be that guy. You know, I don't think you want to be that guy or girl in a lot of situations in life, right? You don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So I think that could kind of permeate through, and you have the right leaders from the Dwayne Brown. I mean, seriously, do you want to be the clown that goes out and start drinking one night and Dwayne Brown, Russell Wilson, and Bobby Wagner are pissed off at you? No.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to be that guy.
Not to mention, Seattle made headlines for cutting a rookie who hadn't even made the team yet because he tried to sneak a girl into his hotel room during camp, right?
There was no tolerance. Yeah, like, that's not going to fly. You're done. Like, cut him right there on the spot. He had a $3,000 signing bonus. It was undrafted rookie, and it's just done.
dumb.
Yeah, that was a clear message. You know, it's a short time that NFL players have for careers. Mostly, right? It's not a long window to play. So if you're getting the opportunity here, I don't think these guys want to blow it. And there's that accountability index that, you know, they have the nice mix of veterans. And Bruce Irvin, he's another veteran they brought back.
Right.
He's another guy you don't want mad at.
No, so, absolutely not.
And he's one of my favorite Seahawks to come along just because of how frank and honest he is. And he would be that guy having that conversation, I could imagine. So, yeah, and, you know, a lot of these guys have wives and families. And I've seen that with the Mariners, too. You know, some of the veterans from D. Gordon to Kyle Seager, you know, those guys, knock on wood, have had a good run of being safe and healthy because it's started with the veterans. And it's been pretty cool to see, you know, in this trying time for everybody to see the Seattle teams having success in that regard. But I'm going to knock on some wood right now, Amy. just took care of that.
Yeah, because that'll help them
tomorrow morning.
That'll
yeah,
help
definitely.
Them stay clean. All right. You can find Mike on Twitter at Mike KOMO Sports, and he is a sports director in Seattle at KOMO. It's always good to catch up and talk Seahawks. We're off and running. Mike, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Amy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.